Hare Krishna, it is similarly my great pleasure to be able to be with all of you. And I request you all, let us take a moment time and just appreciate that today is a very happy day. Today, the Lord of Compassion, the Karuna Avatar, has appeared to spread auspiciousness all over the world. And I think when we just pause and listen to the voice in our hearts, we feel an auspiciousness, an extraordinary feeling of, yes, there is something like mercy. Yes, there is a reason for hope. Yes, the Lord has come. The Lord has come. I think it is evident by the feelings in our heart that today is a most special day. It is evident. I'm also very happy to see you, Sutapa Prabhu. And before I start, I want to say Sutapa Prabhu has given an extraordinary and important contribution to our understanding by his lecture. Please help me. Gauranga Chaitanya Charitamrita and Us, where he has spoken about becoming empowered and holding the empowerment, and what are the essential steps. It is a great contribution, Sutapa Prabhu. It really is one of these lectures which devotees, I think, will profit very much from when they listen to them. And I encourage all those who are on this call to download it from the internet, because for me it is an important, most important realization that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not only a historical personality whose contribution is arrested in the time 500 plus some years ago, but he is here now, and he is willing and ready to give his mercy to all of us now, a mercy that will make an absolute change in our life. Maybe because this is such an important lecture, I will request Sankirtan Priya at the end of the call to maybe put the link up. I'm sorry, I hope I don't embarrass you, Sutapa Prabhu, but we are here in Gaura Bhavan so enriched by this particular lecture. Others also, but this is a milestone. Good. Let us now start. Every one of us, please sit properly. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Everyone, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Si Chaitanya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya. Nityananda Sahodito, Nityananda Satodito, Odadaye Pushpavanto, Odadaye Pushpanvanto, Shitoshando Tamonudo, Shitoshando Tamonudo. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Shatarine. How do we know that someone is an authorized avatar, incarnation of the Lord? We have to go to Shastras and to the realized devotees. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find in the 11th canto, 5th chapter, verse 32, I have 32. Let me. And the verse which talks about the special incarnation in the age of Kali. I will read the Sanskrit and afterwards we will go to the translation. Please all join me now. Krishna vanam tvisha krishnam. Everyone. Krishna vanam tvisha krishnam sangopangastra pashadam. Sangopangastra pashadam yagya sankir Tana prayer, yagya pankirtana prayer, jajanti hi sumedasa, jajanti hi sumedasa. Translation. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So, the purport. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his commentary on the Bhagavatam, known as the Krama Sandarbha, wherein he says that Lord Krishna also appears with a golden complexion. The golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age. That is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by Garga Muni, who said that although the child Krishna was blackish, he also appears in three other colors, red, white, and yellow. I suggest that we will stop hear the reading from the purport. I will pick up the points which Prabhupada has made in the purport in my lecture. For instance, here is something I want to say. It is said that the Lord did not appear alone. No, the Lord appeared accompanied by his associates, his servants, his weapons, and confidential companions. I think it is clear to us when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he brought with him his divine associates, Lord Nityananda, he brought Advaita Acharya, who was the one who pleaded at the banks of the Ganga for the Lord's divine appearance. Advaita Acharya had seen that the age of Kali was showing up with so many really difficult symptoms. It was really a time where he saw that the general state of the people of Navadvip was degenerating very quickly. Gods were worshipped for certain festival days, and then their images would be disposed afterwards. I heard there were really debauchy activities, like cats were married to each other. We faint when we hear this. It was really Kali Yuga. Advaita Acharya felt that only the Lord himself could rectify the situation. So what he did is something which we might consider to do when we feel an emergency has arisen. He went down to the banks of the river Ganga. He took with him his Shila, a form of the Lord, and he began to worship that Shila by offering him tulsi leaves and the water of the Ganga, and then pleaded for an appearance of the Lord. I would like to recommend this as a method for you. Sometimes we come in difficult situations in life. We are diagnosed maybe with a very bad illness, or someone who is near and dear to us is diagnosed with very bad illnesses, or we feel we have somehow come into a life circumstance where we feel confused and desperate. At that time, go before the Lord, leave everything, sit down in a temple, sit down before your home altar. If you have none, take an image of the Lord, a photo, a picture, sit there, and then surrender or give the situation into the Lord's hands. Say, I can't change this. I can't tackle this any longer, but you are almighty and you are highly intelligent. You can do this. And you will see that with this simple method, all problems go. I have personally experienced during the time when Srila Prabhupada was with us, he would tell disciples of his who were in an emergency situation in their spiritual life, to just go and sit before the deities and pray and to them, and then they will take care. When you come to a situation in your life, follow the path of Advaitacharya. So the Lord, Advaitacharya prayed and prayed and prayed, and he threw he offered tulsi leaves and also flowers, and after the puja, he threw the flowers into the river Ganga. Then he noticed something which he had not expected. The flowers were not flowing downstream, but they began to move upstream. This was a rare phenomena. Those who have seen Mother Ganga know her current is very swift and very strong. But these flowers, these flowed upstream, 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 where Mother Sachi was taking her bath. It's a long way from Shantipur to Mayapur. Some kilometers they flew. And in this way, it was indicated that the prayers were heard. Mother Sachi, at that time, had already Mahaprabhu under her heart, and then after some time the Lord took his bath at exactly this constellation. There was a full moon, and everyone was it full moon? It was a total eclipse. I have misled you. It was a total sun moon eclipse. There was a very an eclipse there. So everyone, in order to counteract the inauspiciousness of the day, of the night, went out to the Ganga and chanted and chanted and chanted. And in this way, the Lord had tricked everyone that they would come to the Ganga. It was full moon, but it was not visible. Lord Chaitanya is a hidden avatar. When the moon was eclipsed, at that time, everyone chanted. And in this way, already the hint was there, something special is happening today. If you go today out of your house, please do this at the evening time, or look if you are in a very, you know, in the midst of town, in a high-rise apartment, then look out of the window and you will see the most beautiful full moon of Lord Gaurachandra's appearance. You might never have seen such a beautiful full moon as you would see today. I was inspecting it very carefully yesterday evening already. It was almost full, but today you will see the moon, which was at that time hidden, so that everyone and their friends and their atheistic friends also would run out of the door and go, "Oh no, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, we must create some auspiciousness." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a divine appearance. He, in the verse it says, he came with his associates, but he also had a weapon. What is his weapon? You might ask. Prabhupada writes about this. Sangopangastra Pashadam. Maybe Sankirtan Priya, you can put this on. It's from the purport. It is the third paragraph of the purport. I will start reading already. Sangopangastra Pashadam further indicates that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna. His body is always decorated with ornaments of sandalwood and with sandalwood paste. Oh, yes. So many ornaments. By his super excellent beauty, he subdues all the people of the age. In other descents, the Lord sometimes used weapons to defeat the demoniac. But in this age, the Lord subdues them with his all-attractive figure as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that his beauty is his astra, or weapon, to subdue the demons. I will continue to explain on my own. My dear devotees, my dear listeners, this is an indication of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's extreme merciful nature. If the Lord would come to punish those who have erred and have moved away from the path with a weapon, then the whole population of Kali Yuga, or most of the population, or many of them at least, would be wiped out. But instead of punishing, the Lord gives mercy. By his attractive features, he has attracted all those. Their descriptions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his attractive beauty, which is totally, the descriptions defy any reason. Like it is said, he would be on one side of the Ganga and people would hear that he has arrived, and millions of people would just forget everything, including that they did not know how to swim, and they would jump into the Ganga and try to come to the Lord, being attractive by his beauty. First there were boats which could hold the masses, but then the boats were not sufficient any longer. People came and took trees. Others took clay pots, which they turned the other way around, and holding tight at the clay pots, they moved over the Ganga. When all the clay pots and trees were gone, they somehow still were attracted. Swarms of people, millions, trillions of people went, and in this way the Lord brought them all to Krishna consciousness, attracting them with his charismatic beauty and his electric kirtans, his beautiful, super attractive kirtans. So in this way, the verse describes the incarnation of the Lord very, very nicely. There's another shastra which I would like to quote. This was from the Bhagavatam. It's the Ananta Sanghita, where the incarnation of the Lord is foretold in another wonderful description. Lord Brahma came to Shri Madhusudan Vishnu. he had a grave concern. O Jagat Guru, please tell me, how will religion be maintained in the age of Kali, and who will maintain the path of Dharma in this unfortunate age? To this, the Lord replied. The Lord had recognized Brahma's concern. It was an age where spirituality in general, what to speak of devotion and bhakti, was totally neglected. This path had become, the path of bhakti had become covered with thorns. No one was treating or walking this path any longer. So what will happen, said Brahma? The people, this whole creation will be there in vain, because the whole idea of the world is that people take to their, leave their wayward ways and take to bhakti, to go back to the Lord. And if this purpose is no longer possible, the creation will be useless. So the Lord, Mahavishnu, explained, listen, O Brahma, I will descend in the age of Kali, in the womb of Mother Sachi, in Navadvip, taking my own saintly associates with me. This is a great secret, however, which is not revealed to the Bahyamukhas, the materialists. I will be the Bhaktavatar, an incarnation of a devotee, Bhaktavatar, and I will be bestowing devotion, I will be giving people devotion. Deluded by my Maya, the Bahyamukhas, these are materialists, do not know this. Only the sadhus, means the saintly people, who are devoted to me, the immaculate, they will know this. It's a long, 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 long foretelling in this book, Ananta Sanghita. Really beautiful prophecy. So this incarnation, this is my point, is foretold in the scriptures, and therefore we can take good shelter there. However, to know Krishna, we have to turn to also a second source. There are two sources which direct us to God. One is the scriptures, the revealed word. The second are his devotees. I would like to give you a little analogy. Imagine you are going by a lotus pond, a pond filled with really nice lotus flowers, and you develop the desire, oh, I would love to taste the essence of the lotus flower, that is lotus honey. I love to have this. Where would you go to get your lotus honey? Would you go directly to the lotus flower? Can you extract honey from a lotus flower? No, you are not equipped to do this. You would have to need to go to a beehive nearby, where the bees are, who have that special ability to get the taste of the lotus flower, the essence of the lotus flower, and prepare it in a way that it is tasty, that you can relish it, you can experience it directly. This is a very important secret in bhakti. Similarly, if you wish to taste the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, you must go to the devotees. From the shastras, we can get the tattva, means the truth about an incarnation of the Lord. That's very, very, very important. It's the fundament for everything else. The realized devotees who are like bees, who constantly relish the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord. We can get the taste, the relish, the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. Can you understand this point? It is really important. It is not a side point. It is a main point. So in the scriptures we hear also, from the devotees, from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we hear something about Lord Chaitanya. It's from Emana Dumati. I will sing it to you because you should get the taste. To Tomara Tarite Shri Krishna Chaitanya Navadvipa Vata Tomahena Kata Dinahina Jane Karilena Mavapara Vedera pratigya Raki baratare Rukmavana viprasuta Mahaprabhu name Nadia matyaya Mahaprabhu name Nadia matyaya Sange bhai avadhuta. You can see the devotees, they hear his voice, hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur's description of Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he says, has descended in Navadvip to deliver you. He has already safely conducted many humble and fallen souls like you across the ocean of material existence. There's another song which says, my Lord Chaitanya has put a ferry boat in the water, and everyone come on the boat. Because only if you come on the boat can you be crossing Bhavapara, the ocean of material existence. Otherwise, you have no chance. And then Bhaktivinoda continues. He has come to fulfill the prophecies of the Vedas and has appeared with a golden complexion as a Brahmana's son, bearing the name Mahaprabhu, and he has driven all of Nadia mad with prema, that means love, in the company of his brother Nityananda. My dear devotees, From the spiritual point of view, living entities in this world suffer from a deranged perception. They think the body to be the self, and in this way they make the mistake to confuse that which is temporary to be eternal. They think that which is impure, the body which has constantly transformations, you know, into sweat, into all these things, and they think that which is impure is pure. And in this way, they suffer from a deranged perception. They are, therefore, to be considered mad. And the antidote against this madness, the homeopathic dose, is spiritual ecstasy, which is described as a madness to make the medical analogy work. This is what Lord Chaitanya has given to us. The antidote to suffering is love. Prema, love for Krishna. That is something really very, very nice. The love of God is something which is really very, very, very important. Love of God, to give us an understanding, is very nicely explained by Lord Rama. Lord Rama said, Mother, we have affection for our mother, our father, friend, son, wife. We have affection for the body, for wealth, for the home. We have affection for society and family. If you take all these affections, which are like threads, you know, thin threads, and bring them together in a rope, and when you take this rope to your heart and bind your heart to my lotus feet, then you will attain the perfection of your life. My dear devotees, our affection in this world is scattered here and there to many, many things. People, relations, and so on. But originally, this affection is meant to be given to the Lord. So we need to find these threads. We need to bring them together in one rope and tie our heart with that rope to the lotus feet of the Lord. That's not so easy. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift of, let us say, Krishna consciousness, this becomes possible. And I will show you how it is possible. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given his gift of prema in a certain way. And it's very important for us, if we want to have a gift, to know, well, in what way can I collect this gift? He has given love of Godhead through the chanting of the holy name. That is how it is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu has made a garland where he has put the names on a thread. And he has garlanded the entire world with that thread of or garland of the holy name. Whenever you come into a kirtan, a good kirtan, where good devotees who glorify the Lord come together and sing, and you are absorbing your consciousness in this assembly of devotees into the chanting of the holy name, you will come for sure to a level where you feel, oh Krishna, I only care for you. I really care for you. You are important for me. All the other things will go in the background. All the entanglements, all the misplaced affections will go in the background. Now, something strange happens. When you come out of that kirtan, where you have received the gift of Krishna consciousness, it's not that you turn against people or turn away from family people. No, everyone of you who comes in contact with a Krishna conscious person who's in love with Krishna will feel also that love and satisfaction. When I was in Persia long ago, I wanted to buy perfume for my beautiful deities, Radha Kanhaiya Lal. And I went into one of these Persian perfume shops. You have to go in a Persian perfume shop if you want to know the good smells. And I bought a very nice rose scent. They are very, Persia, you can get real good rose perfumes for your deities. And when I came out, those who had waited for me, they went, whew, because I smelled so good from my visit to the perfume shop. I carried the fragrance, which was there in the inside, with me, and everyone could feel it. In the same way, someone who has received Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift will feel it. Therefore, Mahaprabhu summarized his teachings into three pillars. First, Namaruchi. You should develop taste in the holy name, because that's how you get love. That's how you bring all the bundles together. Then you should do Vaishnav Seva. Oh, this is very humanly organ. This is focused towards the human being. And finally, my dear devotees, you should do, this is the third principle, Jiva Daya, engage in compassionate acts for the welfare of others. So the gift of love of Godhead is exclusive, but it is also inclusive. My God, I'm starting to speak English. Can you understand? The gift of love of God. Love of God goes to Krishna. It is in that sense exclusive. But because we are talking here about spiritual subject matters, we are no longer in the Aristotelian logic, where only one thing can be true. No, we are in the spiritual world, spiritual discussion now. Many things can be simultaneously true. Love of Krishna is exclusive, but it includes also the Vaishnavas and all living beings. We live here in a little ashram by the lake, and it was a tough winter. Now slowly the spring is coming. And in the winter, we saw every morning Varaha Prabhu. He lives upstairs with his family and his little daughter. Every morning Varaha came out, shuddering in the cold, and went to a little house which is hanging from a tree. It's the bird house, and gave seeds for the birds there. Jiva Daya, compassion to other living beings. Someone who is a lover of God, someone who is Krishna conscious, he doesn't kick his dog when he comes home, if he has one. Lover of God is like a person who has been in the perfume shop, and now it is spreading from him everywhere to every being. And that makes devotees such lovable persons. I will end here. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift is the holy name. And there is one chant which the Lord did. It is Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Hari Gopal Govinda Ram Shrimadusudan. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Gopal Govinda Ram Shrimadusudan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please continue. I wish that every one of you sit straight, please. Breathe deeply. I will read to you a very nice verse. It is a meditation in the verse form. May Lord Chaitanya, the moon of Navadvip, who is the king of dances, appear splendidly in my heart. His charming, graceful form is as effulgent as gold, and he has enchanted the minds of all. He is the abode of perfect beauty, so much so that he has greatly agitated the mind of King Cupid, and he is so affectionate to all. Hare Krishna. Good. We have now a little time for questions. Are there already questions, Sankirtan Priya Prabhu?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, so amazing class. Thank you so much. What a journey of nectar and even teaching us how to get nectar from that lotus flower in the pond. Phenomenal, phenomenal. We have one question from Natalie Sharupko. She says, is it true that how we love living beings is more important to Krishna than other things?
In Krishna consciousness, you need to hold two ideas in your mind at the same time. First, the Lord is very satisfied and pleased when someone turns to Him. And the fifth canto, we hear of a great sacrifice in the kingdom of Nabhi Maharaj, a very good king. The priests were engaged to do a great yajna so that Maharaj Nabhi could obtain a child. But when the priest looked at all the preparations of this pompous, huge yajna, there was gold, silver, diamonds, ghee, mountains of rice, everything was there. They could understand these things which they were going to sacrifice to the Lord would not make the Lord happy. And they said at that time, my Lord, you do not need anything. You are full in yourself. However, still you are satisfied and very pleased when your devotees turn to you and with faltering voices pray to you. Faltering voice, it means something like a choked up voice, means, says Vishwanath Chakravarti, it indicates the attachment which the devotees have to the Lord. So when you pray with attachment, with love, the Lord, who is self-sufficient, who does not need anything and anyone, is very pleased. He likes that the devotees love Him. This is one idea. Now the second idea. To show compassion to all living beings. Someone who does that is also very dear to the Lord. So love goes to the Lord and love goes to the living entities. Both must be there. Both ideas must be there. In this world, we only hear of, you know, when imagine a man would say to his wife, I don't love you alone, I love others. Ooh, big problem, big problem. I can imagine, I do not know, I have heard that this could be the end of the relationship even. In spiritual life, it's the beginning of the relationship. I love you, Lord, but I also will take care of the living entities. Both. Hare Krishna.
Wow, that's so nice. Wow, it's an amazing answer. Thank you for that response. We have a question from the temple room here at Bhaktivedanta Manor from His Grace Prayojana Prabhu. He's asking, if someone has offended a devotee, how should they redeem that situation, especially, you know, in order to make amends with that devotee?
Thank you, Prayojana Prabhu, for your very important question. I would first of all like to say why this question is important. Lord Chaitanya, in his teachings, did not, let me say, present anything very complicated. Even when he talks about high subjects, like how to serve Krishna in the relationship of Madhurya Rasa, you know, it is crystal clear, his teachings. He is very clear, and it's very, we in Kali Yuga can understand. One of the often repeated points in his teachings is, don't try to be my devotee and at the same time offend other devotees. There are very strong statements about this. For instance, someone who thinks that after he has offended a devotee can make good by chanting the holy names or by taking his bath in the Ganga is a mistake. That bath in the Ganga and that chanting will act to punish him. He really, there are many statements where he says, especially this comes in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that offending devotees is an absolute, I would speak now in English to you, a no-go. You can't do this and be a devotee of Lord Chaitanya simultaneously. So how to, now our Prayojana, knowing this, and he wants to protect all of us, asked when this has happened, because it sometimes can happen in even without you wanting it to happen, how can one make amends? The idea is, well, it is said you must go to that devotee and you must serve them. The way I understand that is, you must really show the devotee that you regret this, that you said something inappropriate which was very hurtful for the devotee, or you, and you really regret it, and therefore there is not a chance that this will repeat itself. So when you serve a devotee, then this becomes very clear. Okay, he has a different mindset now. And then the offense dissolves. Let us for a moment now translate this into modern psychology to understand what is happening or what is required in order to make amends. Our movement speaks a lot about giving forgiveness, but I feel the other part is often neglected, that is a sincere apology. Before you can forgive, before you can forgive, psychologically, the person who has done something wrong, and I mean now something wrong, not that he didn't do anything wrong, but something wrong, before you can really forgive, before forgiveness can really flow from your heart and give solace to that devotee who sincerely, who regrets, he has to make an apology which is genuine. Because in an offense, this is what happens. Watch. please carefully. The offender who hurts the offended person puts himself above the offended person. The offender may say, you are a rascal because you have joined the Hare Krishna movement. So he offends a devotee like this, no? So he puts himself above the offended devotee. An imbalance in the relationship has happened. So if the offender wants the thinks, oh my God, what did I say? He did the best thing by becoming a devotee. He has become a compassionate well-wisher of all others. Wow, what mistake I made. Then the offender has to come down now with his apology so that the balance is established. And he should say, I'm sincerely regretting that I said you are an irresponsible rascal by becoming a devotee. I have seen that in this dark times, we need people who have devotion to the Lord, who serve the Lord, and who want to serve humanity. We need these positive impulses. Otherwise, our world will never heal completely. That is necessary. And then if the devotee who had been, the person who had been offended, hears this from the offender, he says, oh yeah, he understood that I wanted to do only something good by becoming a devotee. I wanted to become a servant of the Lord, and I want to serve others. No? Then the balance is there. So to make amend, my dear devotees, listen to this very carefully. If you wish that the other really genuinely forgives you, and you don't just say, oh, please forgive me, and then you do your other thing, but you genuinely want forgiveness, then you should apologize. Often I have seen in London, devotees come to me and say, oh Maharaj, please forgive my offenses. And I ask them, what did you do? And then they have no answer to this question, because it was just one of the many things which are chic to say in the Hare Krishna movements. Then I said, Prabhu, how can I forgive your offense if there was no, if you just said something that I don't know how to do that. You tell me if you want me to. You understand the point. No? Proper acknowledgement must be there of what was done wrong, and that must be expressed. I did this and this wrong, and a sincere apology must be offered like that. Very important.
Thank you very much.
Sankirtan Prabhu and everyone else, Gokrishna has just put this paper before me. I have to leave at 10 o'clock.
It I know you're 5 minutes over, Maras. Thank you so much.
No, it was a genuine joy, Sankirtan Prabhu and everyone. I always say to Gokrishna, when this lockdown is over, I will go to the manor and I will sweep before the manor and do menial services to the devotees there, because we feel a natural connection. Hare Krishna.